Good afternoon and welcome to Have a Care, the show that spotlights humans acting for humanity. I am your host, Danielle Padilla, and today we have a very special guest from the Young Storytellers, the head of the college chapter at CSUN, Alex Aston. Thank you for being here.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Perfect. Now, before we get any further into the segment, Alex, would you mind telling our listeners a little bit about what Young Storytellers is?
Yeah, of course. Young Storytellers is a local nonprofit based in Los Angeles that basically aims to give free arts education to kids in elementary, middle, and high school through various script writing and filmmaking programs.
Awesome. Thank you. Now, first off, I think our listeners would really like to know how you became a part of Young Storytellers.
I've been with Young Storytellers since high school. I was in the drama department, and they came to us and basically said, hey, you want to come help some middle schoolers make some movies on iPads with stick figures? And I said, yeah, all right. And it's kind of been moving with that since. You kind of see kids grow and kind of come into their own with filmmaking and script writing and all that. And it was a good time, so I stuck with it.
Awesome, awesome. So in your opinion, what makes Young Storytellers different from other organizations?
Well, there's a lot of participation, a lot of active participation, and there's a great kind of rewards program almost with it, because the kids get to see their creations come to life in the big shows and the movies they make. And the big show is the big old thing where we bring in actors to act out the scripts, if you don't know.
So you said you were a mentor yourself, correct?
Yeah, I started out as a mentor.
Perfect. So can you take me through the process of how a student makes a production? Start from the moment you first meet your student. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's an 8-week program. What we do at CSUN is I recruit the mentors who will work one-on-one with the kids. Mm-hmm. The kids are chosen specifically by their teachers because they'd be good for the program, whether that be because they're shy or because they have a lot of energy and a lot of creative output, or maybe they're on the autism spectrum, or any number of reasons. Kids are chosen, and they are paired up with a mentor who is brought in by us. We go through various lessons about story parts and kind of how stories move, and we just, from there, we go into script writing and help them move scene by scene, create their very own vision.
Perfect. Yeah. So do you go through any special training as a mentor? Because I know you especially, you said you had like really shy kids or like even kids on the spectrum, you know what I'm saying? So is there any type of special training that's needed for it?
Yeah, it's all volunteers, but there is training before you get started working with kids. Usually the people who volunteer are enthusiastic about the program and like to work with kids, but yeah, there's a little bit of training.
Okay, awesome. So as soon as the production's done, the students have made their film, do mentors get a chance to stay in contact with these students? Because they did have like 8 weeks, you said, you know, to like work together, to brainstorm together.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like a chance they get to like stay in contact? Or
we do wrap parties. They're pizza parties. The kids get to choose what kind of pizza they want all by themselves. So, yeah, there's a little bit. You see them around because a lot of the mentors return to the school the next semester and after that. So there's a little bit of contact there.
Awesome. So when they're actually a part of the program, I know the students have mentors, but is there ever a chance where students get to meet students like themselves? There's like a social, basically, is there like a socialization part of it, that we get to meet other filmmakers and students in the program?
Mm-hmm. Well, we do groups of 10 kids and 10 mentors at a time, so we're all working together.
We're all
kind of bouncing ideas off of each other and playing games and all that and learning together. And because it is such an active way of learning with the kids constantly coming up with ideas and shouting them out to the group, there's definitely that communal aspect to it.
Oh, so it's like kind of like group brainstorming in a
way.
And then one-on-one mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
Separately, perfect. So, if you can disclose what, like, how many times have you been a mentor? Only one time?
A mentor just one-on-one with a kid?
Yes.
Like 4 times, 5 times?
Perfect. So, can you describe, like, the biggest challenges with being a mentor? Was it, like, coming up with stories? Are these stories really personal for them? Like, you know what I'm saying?
It depends the kid. Certainly, I've struggled with, like, shyer kids sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting them to come out of their shells a little bit. And you kind of learn the more you do it. Like some people are just introverts and they want to be kind of quiet, and kind of just write. So it's it can be tricky, especially if you are an extroverted person and you want to kind of go. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you live and you learn, right?
Yeah. So how do you foster creativity with these students during brainstorming? I know it's like also communal too, but how do you, or like as a past mentor, I know you're not one now, but what would you say to a student who is like kind of shy, a little more reserved?
It would depend on the student, but a lot of what I like to do is kind of incorporate games and things like that, and ask them about different aspects about themselves, because in the end, they are, whatever you're writing about yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So if you get them to talk about what they're interested in, what kind of games they like to play, what kind of shows and things they like, then that really helps facilitate the process.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So you said how you were chosen, how you became a mentor, mm-hmm. but how do you as a program find schools and like students to mentor? I know that like students will have a certain attribute, like a little more shy, mm-hmm. would be on the spectrum, but do students recommend them? Do the students apply for it, or how does that work?
Well, it's because we work with fifth graders in our program, and we don't know these kids before we start the program, so we really look to the teachers, mm-hmm. their teachers, to help with that. So they are specifically chosen by their teachers who have been working with them for months on end. Mm-hmm. For this program.
So are they all from like the same school? Do you always mm-hmm. use the same schools, or
yeah,
how does
we're
that work?
At CSUN, we're partnered with Langdon Elementary, which is in North Hills, so we're always at that school.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So during the time students are working at Young Storytellers, what if one decides like halfway through they just wanted to leave the program? Like, what would happen to their production or anything like that?
Well, we like to keep them in the program. I have not had that where somebody just wants to leave in the middle of the program. I've had kids move and things like that. Mm-hmm. In that case, we kind of had like some quick sessions before they were about to move, and we actually ended up finishing their script, and we put their show on at the big show, even though they had already moved, and we filmed it for them and sent it to them.
So,
I've never had a problem with a kid not wanting to do it, per se. So...
Mm-hmm. So, like, towards the end, after all filming is done, after mm-hmm. the 8 weeks is complete, do you have, like, this huge, like, premiere for everybody? Is it, like, showcased? Mm-hmm. Like, how is that?
Yeah. Different programs do different things. Mm-hmm. We do what's called the script-to-stage program. Mm-hmm. So we don't actually film our scripts, usually, as, like, movies. We put them on stage, and we bring in actors to act them out live. So at the big show, it's a big old red carpet event, and we bring in the entire school, and we bring in these professional actors, and... it's a grand old time. We do like a paparazzi thing, and I'll call out their names, WWE style. I'll give them all nicknames.
Aww.
And they'll run out, and we'll have everybody taking pictures of things. So you want to make them the rock stars, right? Because it's the big payoff of the whole program, all their work. So it's
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. So the actors, just to focus on that just for a little bit, they're all volunteer basis, like, correct?
That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. So how do you reach out to that like group of volunteers? Because I know you said people came up to you and just asked, hey, like, do you want to help students out? How do they get actual actors, you know what I'm saying, in the program?
Mm-hmm. Well, the actors, for me, because it is a college program, is kind of a similar process. Like, I'll go to the drama department and I'll go to the film department to kind of see who's interested and pitch it to classes. But we also have what are called MVP actors who've been doing Young Storyteller stuff for a long time. So they'll be like actually working actors who are in commercials and all that. And they'll come help out because they're real pros at it. So there's definitely a lot of the help from the organization, because the organization is so within the industry. A lot of the volunteers in our non-college programs are industry people. So
awesome. So your job as the head of the chapter, I know you said you have to, excuse me, I know you had to find volunteers and everything like that. And you said you do go to the departments, but is there anything else you do, like go to events, try to like sponsor it anyhow? You know what I'm saying? Do you go to any like huge fundraisers and try to promote your event?
I don't do fundraisers because I only have to get 10 mentors. if I had to get more, maybe I would. But I get to know basically the teachers in the different departments and I see if I can go talk to them about talking to their classes and pitching it. So that's usually how it goes.
Awesome. So is there like an interview process to be a mentor? You know what I'm saying? And if so, like what kind of questions would be asked?
A little bit. There is a training. We go through a background check and all that since you're working with young kids. But it's really whoever wants to do it, even if you don't have any experience writing a script or working with kids even, if you're interested in helping out,
Oh, well then, cool. Yeah. So if you don't really need that experience, mm-hmm. how do you like brainstorm with them? Or like, how do you help with rough drafts? Do you just like edit for like grammar or anything? Or do you help with like rearranging, like, oh, here's a climax, beginning, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, we do a lot of like the climax, beginning, middle, end as mm-hmm. a class. Like, I'll come in with a lesson plan and all that.
Oh, I see.
But the mentors are really acting as like a coach and a cheerleader and a scribe, really. So mm-hmm. they're saying, wow, that's really cool. Tell me more about that. Or what does this character look like? Or what do they want, you know?
Yeah.
So it's more being a mentor is more being like a cheerleader. Being a writer yourself.
Awesome. Perfect. So these actual productions you hold at the end,
mm-hmm.
is the audience just other people in the program, or do you bring in people outside the program to come watch?
The audience is the other kids at the school. So really it's like the third, fourth, and fifth graders come to watch in the auditorium, and then the parents will come in and all that. So
yeah. So do you do schools like in the Valley, or which schools have you done in the past?
I've worked in Burbank. I worked at Jordan Middle School, and I've worked in Culver City,
mm-hmm.
and now we're at Langdon Elementary with CSUN. So there are programs all over the place, though. Pretty much every city in the Valley, I think, has one nowadays.
Yeah. So how do you fund these productions? Is it all just like from the over the umbrella, like actual organization through donations and everything?
Pretty much. It's a nonprofit, and then there's like industry support and all that.
I see.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what happens to students after they complete their film? I know we talked a little bit about it, about like after the wrap party mm-hmm. and everything, but what happens to them after that?
Well, since there are a couple different programs, like some kids might go on to go into their middle school program, which is the filmmaking program.
Mm-hmm.
And then in high school, there's another filmmaking sort of program called POV. So a lot of the kids will stick with the program.
Mm-hmm.
But kids will go into writing more. And they'll kind of build confidence even if they aren't interested in writing or filmmaking, which is cool because you'll hear back from the principal and say, this kid who is having trouble in class is paying a lot more attention and they're a lot more active in discussion. So that's a lot of the benefit of the program because it really helps these kids build confidence when they don't necessarily have it and gives them an output.
Oh, awesome. So what exactly is the POV program, I think you mentioned earlier about for high schoolers?
The POV, I haven't done this one, so I might not have the best information, but I understand it's like a semester long program where you work with like an older filmmaker mentor, and you kind of get to document your life as a high school student.
So it's more of like a documentary style focus type instead of like scripted, or
I'm not entirely certain. I never did that one myself. It's kind of a newer program, and I've always been working with the younger kids.
Awesome. Okay, so going back to being the head of your chapter, what qualities are you looking for in a volunteer?
Enthusiasm, mainly. It's good if you're timely. If you're late to sessions, you have to do the chicken dance, which is...
Well, the chicken dance? The chicken Wait, what's dance. The... For the... In front of everybody, or just in front
right.
of...
Oh, of course. Yeah.
How did that start?
I don't know. Kids will say things like, what should we do if they're late? And the chicken dance is usually the first thing that comes up.
Every time the chicken dance? Nothing?
Every time the chicken dance.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, are you going to do it here now? I'm joking.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
radio audience.
It's fine. Okay, perfect. So, again, talking about students after the program, have any... I know the like principals sometimes have gotten contact you. Have students ever come back and have been like, you know, thank you? Or do they ever come back as like... mentors themselves, or
definitely kids. I've heard stories about kids who grew up doing the fifth grade program and then going into high school and continuing it and now being mentors themselves, so that definitely happens.
Awesome. Perfect. So far from what you mentioned you were a mentor, what has like your student told you, like, you know what I'm saying, like what kind of... I know we've talked about what your role as a mentor is, but like what has that meant for your student? You know what I'm saying? Like, what has being their mentor done for them?
Again, it helps, you know, build their confidence and show them that they can create something, that they have the ability to do something.
Yeah.
It shows that they can do it when there isn't always a lot of positive reinforcement in these kids' lives, or there isn't, like, somebody to work one-on-one with them to kind of help guide them. This gives them that.
Mm-hmm. But just in your experience, what was like the challenges of being a mentor?
The biggest thing would have, getting kids to come out of their shells or maybe to put themselves into the program because maybe they're not comfortable with themselves as storytellers or anything like that. So that has been a challenge, but it's the reason you do it is so that these kids can see a creator in themselves and
I see,
some value, you know?
Mm-hmm. So the concept for these stories, I mean, I know they're 100% original. They're mm-hmm. definitely from the students, but do they ever have, like, a writer's block? And I know you said it's, like, a communal brainstorming, but mm-hmm. I know you also said they're very personal.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there can be some writer's block. We try to ask lots of open-ended questions, so tell me more about that, or tell me about yourself, and then that can lead to, getting more out of them. And there are only 5-page scripts, so that kind of helps a little bit. But writer's block, play some games, you know?
Oh, awesome. Okay. So this is going to be a little weird, but mm-hmm. stay with me for a second. So pretend I'm a student and you're imagine yourself back to being a mentor.
Okay.
How would you start the process of getting an idea? So let's just pretend we're going to brainstorm here for a second.
All right. So give me, like, a character, any kind of character, any kind of living thing.
My cat.
Your cat. Okay. What's your cat's name?
Toby.
Toby. That's a pretty good name. Why'd you call him Toby?
I called him Toby because I have a crush on a kid named Toby in my class.
Kid named Toby. All right. Is your cat... Well, tell me about your cat. Why would you name your cat after Toby?
Because Toby has black hair and my cat has black hair. And I like Toby.
Oh, okay. Tell me more about Toby.
Toby has paws. Mm-hmm. Toby likes to sleep. Mm-hmm. Toby has claws.
Okay, cool. So Toby can be one of our characters. What do you think Toby wants? You know, he's sitting at home, right? He's a big old cat. He's hanging out.
He's a fat cat.
He's a fat cat, you know, hanging out with mice. Maybe not chasing him because maybe he's not in the mood. But what do you think Toby wants?
I think he wants to be fed.
He wants to be fed. Okay.
He's a fat cat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the main thing that we're looking for in our protagonist, which is the main character in a story, is that they want something. They have a goal that they're trying to achieve. So maybe Toby's goal is to be fed. All right. So Toby's going to be fed. He gets food. End of story. Is that good?
I want there to be a superhero in it.
You want there to be a superhero? Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me more about superheroes. What kind of superheroes do you like?
He's kind of fat, so let's make his superpower unlimited eating.
Unlimited eating, okay. He's probably got to eat a lot then.
Yeah.
Okay, so Toby wants to eat food, so that's his goal, right?
Yes.
So in our stories, we like to introduce conflict or obstacles, because if a character in a story just got what they wanted right away, it wouldn't be a very interesting story, right?
No.
So what could get in the way of Toby getting food?
Not feeding him.
Not feeding him.
Am I the villain? I'm not feeding him.
You might be the villain. You might be our antagonist. But it kind of just goes from there, building details out of characters.
I see, yeah.
On the motivations.
Sorry, I give you such a bad script. But yeah, you worked with it really well. Yeah.
Thanks.
Perfect. So is it always like in the trainings you have, is it like that or is that just you as a person? Do you lead the trainings?
I do lead the trainings. And the lessons and all that. Mm-hmm. But usually mentors will be doing that one-on-one with kids.
Oh, I see. So. Yeah, because you really pulled a story out of that. And I could see how it could go like, wow, I'm a villain. That sounds wrong.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, one of the first things we do is like basic story structure stuff. So protagonist, antagonist, all that. So that gives them a foundation that we can later plug things into.
So do you ever have like a, because I know they're like, I don't know, sometimes a little shy. Do you ever have a problem with them just not like, opening up? Do you just like have to kind of search for it?
Definitely,
like
definitely
anything. It's like nothing's fun. It's like, oh, so what do you do on the weekends? I don't do anything.
There are a few kids like that. You kind of just have to be patient a lot of the times. Ask them about themselves. Try to tell them about yourself. If you tell them about yourself, then they might want to talk about themselves. Just be like, man, I like your kicks. That reminds me of my shoes, which I go running in all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know you try not to because it's like probably not like the healthiest relationship to switch mentors, but would you ever switch a mentor with a student? Like if something just wasn't working or, You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, some people just click immediately. Usually mentors are assigned randomly, but if like on the first day before mentors are assigned, a mentor and a mentee are like best buds and they're totally vibing, you pair them up. But I've not had to switch a mentor and a mentee around yet.
Yet? Okay, let's knock on wood.
Yeah.
Let's hope not, because that sounds like a good. So how can our listeners get involved?
You can go to youngstorytellers.com. That's Y-O-U-N-G, storytellers.com.
Awesome, perfect. Now I see we're running out of time. So one question I wanted to ask was, I know we said we can volunteer. How will Young Storytellers benefit from listeners' help?
Well, we could always use more volunteers, more people that are enthusiastic about helping kids, helping grow the community and, you know, making the world a better place.
Can we only volunteer if we have a college chapter, or was there another, we can just apply online?
Yeah, you can just apply online. There's a little volunteer tab. Some schools have college chapters, some schools don't. I know UCLA has one, USC has one, CSUN has one. So if you are in a college chapter, they'll probably set you up with the head mentor there. Otherwise, you can just be a volunteer at another school, because there are schools all over the place that are not college chapters.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. So the last thing I just wanted to add, was there anything else that I didn't mention or I didn't ask that you wanted to mention about?
I guess we're just looking for enthusiastic people that, you know, care. It's a good way to make a difference in a kid's life. I know that's kind of a phrase that is thrown around a lot, but you can actually see it happening with these kids. You can see it at the big show when their name's called out and their script is performed and everybody laughs at all their jokes. So it really does make a difference.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that answer. And thank you again to Alex Aston from Young Storytellers for visiting us here on Have a Care, the show that spotlights humans acting for humanity. I am your host, Danielle Padilla, for KPCRadio.com. Have a good day, and here's to a better tomorrow.